And I'm glad to hear that we're okay with the profanity because she's got a filthy mouth.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're talking with Rebecca Fox and Kat Rose, the two hosts of The Seeker and the Skeptic, a new podcast. Check it out. You're gonna love it.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hey.
And Tim Wick.
Cheerio.
Oh, that's so good. Cheerio. Excellent. Yeah. Tim is being ridiculous because we are currently speaking to two of our friends in England, Rebecca Fox and Kat Rose. Hello, you two.
Hi.
Cheerio.
That's how we talk here, for sure.
Pip and such, right?
Crumpets.
I wanted to try to speak your language just a little bit.
Yeah, it made us feel very welcome. Thank you.
Haven't we done enough to their language already?
So, Rebecca and Kat. Rebecca, as you might remember, steady listeners, has been on our show a couple times before to promote two of her really amazing illustrated novels, I would say, really illustrated books, graphic novels, but really they're really gorgeous pieces about skepticism and faith and seeking. And Rebecca and Kat you have a podcast now.
We do, yeah. It's called The Seeker and the Skeptic.
Yes.
Guess which one I am.
I'm guessing you're the skeptic, Rebecca.
Yeah.
Wow, Kat, first try.
So Kat, that makes you the seeker.
That does. I am the one who believes a lot, let's say.
Believes a lot. So I would love to talk a little bit about that. So when you say you believe a lot, what do you identify as religious? And if so, what religion?
Not necessarily. So okay. I feel like I'm somebody who likes a pick and mix. So if I come across an idea that appeals to me, then I go with it. Whereas when I talk to Rebecca about these ideas, she maybe helps me question them a little bit more and help me see the plus side and the potential downside to them.
Oh, that's such a polite way of putting what I do.
Craps all so over
really
my
drink. More of an overall spiritualism.
Yes.
That's really. So have there been any bits recently that you've picked up that you really enjoy or anything that you've discarded recently?
Recently, over the past like year or so, I've found myself getting quite into astrology. In a way that kind of, so a bit about my, not my background really, but what I've been doing over the last like 5 years or so is helping creative introverts, build their businesses online. And this came from my own like discovery about being an introvert. And the more I looked into introversion, how you define it, and then personality type tests, like the Myers-Briggs type indicator, the more I kind of realized, hang on, aren't all of these personality type tests a bit like astrology? Is there anything, if what I'm getting from these personality type tests, which aren't necessarily scientific, can I also find that in astrology? And it turns out I can.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's really weird because I kind of go the opposite way where I look at Myers-Briggs and go, oh, that's a bit like astrology, so they're both bullshit. Oh, this is like astrology, so they both be good.
That's it.
Or interesting or rewarding or whatever.
Helpful.
It's interesting because for me, I'm like right in the middle of you two. I reject astrology because it's just a circumstance of birth. But since Myers-Briggs is self-reporting questions, it feels like it has a little bit more of an accuracy in terms of how I am. I'm the one answering the questions about myself, whereas astrology is them telling me what I'm like because of, you know, the sun's position when I was born.
Even if it's a not very scientific evaluation or conclusion of who you are, it is based on something that is actually you and not just a day.
I mean, I'm ride or die Gryffindor too, and that's not scientific.
Yeah, okay, so I would say that Harry Potter houses are exactly the same thing because what all of these do is tell you something, they make a statement that you can either agree with or discard. And that, it's like that part is what is useful because I think that's what helps with the self-knowledge. So I could look into, you know, tea leaves, anything can tell you something about yourself. Because it's how you interpret it.
See, my take on the Myers-Briggs is I can never remember what my results are, and I don't want to take the test again. And I can remember what astrological sign I am because the newspaper will tell me.
Yeah. Yeah. I take the test. I took it like 10 times in a row and got the same result every time, which is also very, very Molly.
Yeah, the same.
Also what you did coming to the Gryffindor it conclusion. Is.
The it same is. Thing happened to me with the Harry Potter house because I was like, I don't want to be fucking Gryffindor. Same. And every goddamn time I was Gryffindor. Yep. And finally I'm like, okay, I'm Gryffindor. All right, fine.
So we should do an episode about Myers-Briggs because it's like drawn from Jungian stuff, isn't it? So it is a little bit like you said, Molly, it's kind of on the cusp between science and pseudoscience. It'd be an interesting thing to explore.
That would be good. So let's talk about your show. What is it that you two, like what is the hook, we'll say, you know, for the show?
Goal.
Yeah.
Well, what we want to do is we want to go and actually experience these things, whether it's astrology, go to an astrologer or go to meet a shaman or go to the lecture of some conspiracy theorist guy and really like experience it and as if we are doing it for real. And I guess in some ways Kat is more than I am. And then go home and research it and discuss it and give people who maybe wouldn't have these experiences two really different perspectives. And the two of us sort of bickering a bit and bouncing up against each other about what we think. We kind of see it as like a bit of an experiment in how to have positive communication on topics that are often quite fraught, but still kind of have a sense of humor about it.
Yes. And I think part of what I really enjoy about the show is at the end, we kind of discuss specifically like harms and benefits of any of these, I guess, either their belief systems or like experiences that you might have. And I think that's going to be helpful in theory to lots of different people.
Yeah, I think maybe we'll sow some seeds of skepticism in people who weren't skeptical before. And maybe also from the other side, show people like it's not Kat's not crazy. That's not why she believes in these things. They are valuable to people.
That's so kind of you.
And here's why. Yeah, so I mean, I won't put it in writing, but yeah, just between you and me, she's not crazy.
Can you give us an example of like a conclusion you've come to for something so far, like something,
or something
that was
you've done,
something beneficial, something harmful, kind of like two examples.
Ooh, okay. So we did holotropic breathwork. In fact, that was our first episode.
Oh, and that was holotropic breathwork.
I'm so glad you asked.
I've never heard of this.
It's basically inducing hypoxia, which is like what happens when you hyperventilate by breathing in a certain way. So you breathe in and then breathe out before you've quite finished breathing in. And you do all this lying on the floor whilst there's loud like trance music booming and hippies all around you. And you just get yourself into the state where you start having visions and weird experiences. And I mean, I thought it was good because it's going to be like almost like we're getting high, but we're not doing any drugs, so it's safe.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really expecting anything dramatic to happen. But I had a full-on vision, and it was really quite an amazing experience that I would go and do it again. I have thought about doing it again, which is surprising.
Yeah, it's surprising because the Seeker did not have such an experience and just spent the whole time, I think it was an hour, like lying there listening to other people have their experience, which was often quite loud and dramatic.
And screaming.
Screaming.
Oh, yeah.
Screaming.
What about, I'm curious because Rebecca, you said that, because it's not drugs, it's safe. Hypoxia doesn't feel super safe to me. So how do they assure you of its safety?
Well, because you're just inducing it in yourself to stop the experience at any time. All you need to do is breathe normally.
Oh, all right. All right.
It's an active thing. It's an active thing that you have to do to force yourself to breathe in this unnatural way. So,
and they have people like walking around looking after people.
Yeah, that's true. If we'd started to turn blue, someone would have come over, maybe, hopefully. I mean, you're right. I'm sure it's not the safest thing in the world, but it's kind of like you could try and strangle yourself.
Right.
And if you've your hand
you
would
stop.
Just get too weak.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you'd
you cannot strangle yourself with your hands.
Of all the ways you could force yourself to have hallucinations, it's probably pretty safe and reliable.
True story. Yeah. When I was a small child, my mom told me you can't strangle yourself to death with your hands, and boy did I try, because I was convinced that she was wrong. and I
gotta say
she was
that
such a miserable child.
I have to say that sounds like something I would consider to be one of the most unpleasant experiences of my life.
Yeah,
because I find meditation just dreadfully boring. This whole idea that I have to just sit there and be quiet and breathe, and I just hate that.
Mm.
And the idea that now I have to sit there and be quiet and try and breathe wrong, I think hate it. And if I hallucinated, it would just make it worse.
So did
the other thing is Sorry, I was just going to say, you're also breathing out of your mouth, so your mouth gets really dry. It's not terribly pleasant.
What? So, Rebecca, you're the only one that really had visions from this. Do you, from that, or from not having hallucinations either? I suppose, Kat, did you have a conclusion? Like, is there a benefit to this beside doing a good story?
I think the benefit is the good story. Okay. So people have they have these random visions. Like, for example, have you guys know about those bog bodies, like Iron Age people who fell into bogs and then they were all preserved?
Yeah.
So for some reason, that's what my vision was. It was of the Tolland Man, a specific one that I learned about in school. So it's obviously deep down in my brain engraved in there. And I saw myself as the Tolland Man. And there's this thing that happens to your body. What's it called when you get all stiff?
I don't know, but they call it like kangaroo hands.
Yeah, there's a fancy word for it. If you listen to that episode of our podcast, we'll say the fancy words. But basically, because you're restricting the oxygen or whatever, carbon dioxide, actually, I think, your hands start clutching up and like claws, and your feet start clutching up, and you sort of go into the fetal position, which is what happened to me. And obviously, in my head, I interpreted that as being like that kind of fetal crouched up all wizened like copper colored man, old ancient man, and it was amazing and it was really, really vivid.
and your conclusion was that was amazing.
Yeah, that's my conclusion. But someone else might have had that same experience and then like worked it into the framework of their belief, saying, oh, this connects me to my ancestors. Sure. Or this is all about how I've been under the ground and I need to come up because he's under the ground and he needs to come up. Or like they make a story out of it. Mm-hmm. So what you're doing when you have these experiences is you're having these amazing, really like intense experiences, and they provide fodder for you to create a personal mythology, which could go one way. It could go really bad or it could go really good. But that's what I think people are getting out of it.
On top of that, you have this experience.
No, go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say you have this experience of doing something as a group. So there was a lot of that. I think this was something that we've done that has been well facilitated, which is quite important to me. And you're brought back together at the end to kind of discuss and share your experiences. And I think that was really quite lovely.
Yeah, people really like that.
Do you feel while you were having this vision, did you have that duality of mind where you knew you were also doing this to yourself? Or did you were you completely subsumed by the experience?
I think this is something that it makes holotropic breathing really different from like a drug trip, mm-hmm. because you have to consciously do it. So if I got lazy and stopped doing the weird breath, then the vision started to fade. Mm-hmm. So you have to like keep doing the breath, and the mm-hmm. breath is hard to do when your mouth is getting all dry and gross. Yeah. So you're aware that it's something, it's a very weird, it's like halfway between you're fabricating it and it's happening to you. It's a very strange experience. But what it really, I did have this thing, this sort of preconception about these sort of things where hippies just lie on the floor and daydream and then say, I've had a spiritual experience. I thought, well, that's, that sounds like nonsense. But actually having gone through it, I'm like, no, I can see why these things mean something to people. It's a powerful experience if it works for you, which unfortunately it didn't for Kat.
It kind of makes me think of being like 13 or 14 and reading that, like, you could trip off nutmeg if you eat enough of it.
Yeah.
Like if you scrape off enough banana peels and dry them out, you can make something to smoke that'll make you super sick but kind of high. Like, if you lay down and breathe funny enough for long enough, you can see some stuff. Like, it seems like something a young teenage desperate Nick would do because I couldn't find weed. Maybe.
Well, the guy who made it up basically did it for that reason. He wanted to use drugs as like therapy.
Uh-huh.
I think it was like the 60s, 70s, early days. Stanislav Grof, his name was. And yeah, he wanted to do that, but he couldn't because it was legally impossible wherever he was. And so he invented this way to get the same experiences, but without having to do anything illegal.
Yeah. So there's a lot of woo here in America. Is there a lot of woo in England?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah. What flavors of woo do you find the most, prevalent, insidious, however you want to, pervasive, however you want to. We get a lot of, right now there's lots of, essential oils and naturopathy is really on the rise here. People healing themselves with crystals and energies and oils and not medicine. What sorts of things are, I hate to say plaguing, but what sorts of things are really taking England by storm these days that you've noticed?
Mm-hmm. I feel like oils, like essential oils, are a big thing right now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and astrology as well. Oh. Like, it's funny that you brought that up right at the beginning, but it is suddenly becoming hip again.
Yeah.
And Wicca, which is weird. We just came back from the winter solstice celebration with some local witches, and that is massive. I think it's because they've realized that they can sell, like, occult jewelry to millennials, so.
How was the solstice celebration?
Yeah, well, it was interesting. I don't really know what to expect. This is kind of, and I have never done any solstice celebrating before.
Whereas I admit I have, like Molly.
Same.
But yeah, it was basically we went to a community garden, which is, I guess, like an allotment. Do you have allotments?
I know what they are because I read a lot of British fiction, but explain for our listeners.
Well, I guess it's like a community garden.
Yeah, but it's a working area. It's not like a garden that you'd sit down and relax in. You grow veg there, and it's generally where retired people go, you know, when they don't have anything to do with their days. And because gardening here in the UK, well, it's probably the same way you are, actually, because the weather's so rubbish. It's really hard to get everything working, to get the pests off, and, you know, just to keep everything watered. So people take it very, very seriously.
Here in Minnesota, we have a lot of those. They're much more prevalent in, like, the migrant communities, especially, like, the Hmong communities and the Somali communities. They have a lot of community gardens here.
So it's interesting. In South Minneapolis, they're pretty plentiful. There's, it's called the Greenway. It used to be a railroad that went under the streets and stuff that has been turned into a kind of plush bike path that goes through the whole majority of the southern part of the city. And they've taken, like, the hilly areas that aren't really usable for building along the stretch and just turned them into a number of community gardens.
Yeah, it's the same sort of thing. It's areas that wouldn't be used for anything else. But then they're very, like, ramshackle. They're sort of sheds built out of pallets.
Yeah.
Old doors and stuff. Yeah.
Like, capitalism, it's a cool place. Can't find a way to squeeze a buck out of it, so I guess we'll let people use it.
Yeah.
So the local Wiccan coven, I guess, really, put on a solstice celebration for the public, or were you invited specially?
Well, I think you searched for it and found it on Eventbrite.
Well, we wanted to record an episode about Wicca, and so I thought, well, I'll just Google for Wiccan solstice celebrations, since we'll be recording the day after the solstice, see what's up. There's actually a massive one in our town in Brighton. It's called Burning the Clocks, where everyone parades across down the seafront on the beach with, because we live in a hippie town, so everyone knows what the solstice is. It's a big deal. And they parade down with lanterns and stuff, but we weren't up for going out last night, so we were looking for something that we could do today. And this just popped up on Eventbrite. Yeah, it just, I don't know, it was a...
Well, it's definitely a community event. It's basically, it was a few, maybe three or four families and us.
Which was awkward.
Did you tell them you were there for a podcast?
We did not tell them anything of the sort.
We didn't tell them anything full stop.
No, it was weird. Like, I don't think we were ever encouraged to introduce ourselves, or it was kind of like all of these families knew each other and they had gathered together to put on a solstice celebration for their kids. And me and Rebecca.
It was not well advertised. We thought it was going to be like grown-up witches having grown-up witch fun. But it was, it was more of a kiddie thing.
And at the same time, having said that, like, there were definitely elements that I'd read about when I was trying to research Wicca. So this idea of standing in a circle, holding hands, calling the corners, working with the elements. Yeah, so I got to witness a bit of that ritual, I guess.
I was just saying to Nick last night that on the high holidays is when that's when my little atheist heart, like, ticks one beat toward Wicca. Like, just on those days, there's just something about it where I'm like, oh, the solstice, or, oh, it's Samhain, or just, you know, like, a little bit of me is like, I could do that again. Like, I could pretend for the
I'm exactly the same. I can't not light the candle on the darkest night of the year. Yeah. I mean, I don't really think that it's doing anything, but it's just a lovely ritual.
Mm-hmm. So for solstice, my band did a show, and the bar that we were at does a drink special once a year, which is they have dark beer at half off for the solstice. Nice. for the darkest night.
The darkest night, the darkest mirror.
Our audience was so drunk. Oh my God.
I bet. Your audience likes dark beer.
They do.
on a whole, too.
It tends to be stronger.
They were like twice as excited as usual for our holiday show.
His band is an Irish comedy band, so it's really a twofer there for drinking.
So it was a very different experience for us. No kids standing in a circle holding hands, just a whole lot of drunk people.
Yeah.
That's the best way to celebrate any holiday, really.
So what?
It was quite interesting seeing children being raised in pagan traditions, though, being taught the story of the Holly King and the Oak King and all this stuff.
That was when Nick and I first started dating, we were very close with a group of people that were...
Isatru.
Isatru. So Nordic pagans really celebrating... and so all they did, we had stumbles, we had, we did, name day coming of age celebrations for, his son. We did some other, you know, we did
not
a lot,
my son, but
not
our
Nick's
son,
our friend's son. Yes.
What happened? Oh my God.
I know, right?
Nick.
and yeah, it was, but there came a point where both of us just realized it felt false for us to be there because we didn't believe it and everyone else believed it so fervently that we felt like we were, you know, taking away from their,
felt like it cheapened their experience.
Yeah.
In our eyes, it was completely one way. Like they didn't care.
Yeah. But yeah, that's
it's really weird. We often have those debates, especially with the channeling. We went to see a channeler who channeled the Archangel Michael and some aliens.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And none of it, like, can't even pretend to believe that stuff, really.
Yeah. The Archangel Michael specifically.
Especially as you said it back, I just like started laughing like, oh my God, yeah, we actually did that.
But it's that thing of you
don't want to say to people, I'm here as a skeptic, as a journalist. Like, at the same time, you don't want to lie directly about your beliefs.
I like that it's the Archangel David.
Michael,
and some aliens.
Yeah.
Of course, on
its face at the beginning, it's like, well, that's ridiculous. But then like, and aliens, it's like, well, okay, now you're just.
I got a direct line to Archangel Michael, and then we'll just see who picks up the phone when it comes to aliens.
You know, Kat, I wanted to ask because we've had Rebecca on the podcast before, but what's your background in terms of what got you into wanting to be, you know, being a seeker, wanting to do this podcast and
religious upbringing,
you know. Your religious upbringing, your background, your profession. You talk about as a journalist. Are you a journalist originally, or
certainly not? But I see kind of what we're doing here with like the reporting has that like journalistic
absolutely,
quality.
Absolutely.
But yeah, my background. I mean, I was raised Catholic. The correct religion. No, I'm kidding. About age 30.
No, I was raised Catholic too.
I was
going to
say, weren't we all?
Yeah.
But I was. I kind of came to my senses at age around 13. And it was just through like kind of I compare it to when I stopped believing in Santa. I hope there are no spoilers. Basically, I started to work out, you know, little by little, okay, that's not making any sense. So maybe it's this. So with Santa, it was like maybe Santa's the postman. And it's like, you know, like all the postmans must have to dress up. And then you realize, okay, so it's mum and dad. Same thing with God. I was like, well, there can't be just one God. There must be multiple gods. And then that kind of started falling apart as well. Anyway, that didn't stop.
That sounds a lot like how it was for me too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it wasn't this overnight thing, but, however, that doesn't stop me being like, I think naturally curious, and maybe, and still appreciating stuff. Like I love churches. I love like myth and legend. So there are like, oh, and like rosary beads. And so similarly with like, other faiths, like I love mala beads. Is that Buddhist? I don't want to like misspeak, but anyway, those mala beads that you get, they're 108 beads. And so I think there's just like some part of me that's like naturally drawn to a lot of these like rituals and stories, basically.
And then she comes to live in Brighton, which is the hippie place where we live now, and she just sees all this stuff.
Yeah, it's really been like great, I guess, nourishment for that part of me, possibly too much.
Is there anything that you've sought that you now consider to be just rubbish? Like you don't have anything to do with it.
I think for me, it's more like I'm trying not to throw, and I never really want to throw the baby out of the bathwater, as it were. Mm-hmm. So even with Catholicism, I'm like, well, what can I take from maybe less so Catholicism, but just like Christianity in general, okay, there are lots of things that Jesus said that I really like, and he seemed like a nice dude. So I very rarely, I can't think of anything that I've just totally thrown out.
All right. Interesting.
But I think it's important that the way you look at something, in even astrology, I could really go into depth about what I get from that and what I don't believe is happening there. Like, I don't believe planets are like determining my next Tuesday.
Ah, so astrology, but maybe not, you know, the I'm having a bad week because Mercury's in retrograde thing.
Yeah, I think that's it's an unhelpful way to live your life. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
It's what you get out of it. It's the same can be said for, you know, reading good books or watching good movies or whatever. It's what you individually take away from it and how you use it as a tool to live a better life and be a better person.
100%.
Not that it's a magic spell changing who you are or a god influencing your favor or something.
Yes.
And this is the big difference between me and Kat personality-wise that explains why, although we have so much in common, we get so much out of having conversations together. Because for me, it's really important whether something's true or not. Whereas for Kat, I'm just going to speak for you. Yeah, as long as it's useful and helpful and makes her feel good, then she goes with it. Whereas I'm like, no, I want to see the science and I want to know if something's real because I feel like believing things that aren't real has horrible consequences. Probably has some good consequences too.
Yeah. In your last book, you really dug into that about, you know, making sure, like looking at the veracity of things and testing them against hypothesis.
And Kat proofread that book for me. So.
Oh, really? That's excellent.
It didn't work. No, but it's really helpful. And again, like, this is why it's like a good to have this counterweight in our conversations.
Yeah.
For me. So I don't like go off the deep end and join a cult.
All right.
Everyone needs a friend that keeps them from joining a cult.
I agree. I think if there's one thing that's important in life, it's to have somebody around that will keep you from joining a cult.
So The Seeker and the Skeptic, are you on iTunes and things like that? Or where can we find your podcast?
Yeah, we should be able to find it on pretty much all the podcast apps that are being sensible. And
do you have a website?
SeekerandSkeptic.com.
And then we have Twitter and Instagram, which is just Seeker Skeptic. Is that right?
Something like that.
Yeah. Right. Search for us, you'll find us.
Wonderful.
Search and you shall find.
All right. Well, it is time for five questions.
Five questions.
And since Rebecca has both answered our five questions and asked us five questions.
Oh, my God. So complicated.
Let's ask Kat five questions.
Oh, great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, get revenge on her, not me.
Exactly. All right. So, Kat Rose, are you ready for five questions?
Five questions.
As ready as I'll ever be.
All right. Tim, question number one.
All right. Question number one. This is a good one for a seeker. Yeah. What conspiracy theory do you find most interesting or compelling?
That the queen is a lizard.
Oh, yes.
Lizard people are the best.
Lizard people.
Yep.
Do they believe the whole royal family are lizards or just the queen?
I mean, this is what's so great about this particular conspiracy theory. Like, it's really hard to get to the bottom of it, but I'm going to go with, I think, yes. Maybe all but like Prince Harry. He's okay.
Yeah.
We're recording an episode about David Icke tomorrow. We went and saw him speak a little while ago. So we're quite engaged in the David Icke literature now. Yeah.
I brought it up before. I have a friend who like writes books about lizard people
and ancient aliens.
Yeah, and I've read one of them and it's a slog.
It's real
just
rough.
Messed up.
He is not my friend. He is my friend's dad, and I just have to pretend he doesn't exist because I want to fight him.
He's also just a really horrifying Trump apologist, so I try to ignore it.
And
it's like, yeah, he's wrong in a lot of different ways. But anyway, that is a good conspiracy theory.
It's weird the conspiracy theories in politics and how they intersect.
Yeah.
So really,
isn't it though?
Yeah. Question number two, Nick.
What is your perfect 2-week vacation? Cost is no object, but physics is still a limiting factor.
Okay, so probably somewhere like Bali. I haven't even been there yet, but I do plan to go. And just doing all of my like favorite spiritual ritual stuff and everything else that people seem to do in Bali, which I think involves coconuts, definitely.
Yoga is big there. Yoga, in fact, there's a yoga cult you might join.
I bet there's coconut yoga.
Coconut yoga?
Yeah.
For a second there, I thought you said coconut yogurt, which
I mean, that too.
There's probably that too.
I don't know how big they are in dairy in Indonesia. I'm not sure. We're a dairy-rich state.
This is a weird morning.
Yeah,
okay.
All right. Question number three. What is a movie or a book that has changed your life and why?
I want to say The Labyrinth, I think it was just called Labyrinth, you know.
What, with David Bowie?
With David Bowie. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know in what way that's changed my life, but probably my desire to live in a fantasy world. And
your sexuality influenced by that cod piece?
Strange thing about people with men with scary eyebrows. Yeah.
That is an excellent, excellent answer. That movie made me realize that it was one of the many movies when I was younger that subconsciously I look back and I'm like, oh, that was a movie where I was like, I think I also like girls. Like, that girl is very, because Jennifer Connelly is so pretty in that movie.
She's very, very attractive. And disturbingly attractive for somebody who was just almost too old to be attracted to her at the time.
Yeah, yeah. I was
not
like,
quite. It wasn't illegal, but it was close.
I was like 10, so it was fine for me.
Yeah.
Wasn't creepy for Molly.
No, no. Question four, Tim.
Oh, no, I thought I was 5.
Nope, you have 4. Oh. You started. Question 4.
Okay. What is the geekiest thing you've ever done or said?
Oh, that's a really tricky one. I say them all the time.
Yeah. Well,
have I said anything recently to you that was particularly geeky? I like to correct people on their grammar quite a lot, which is always geeky.
That's a delightful characteristic you have.
Do you do it in conversation? Like, do you pause the conversation if you can?
Yeah. I just place my finger on somebody's lips and say, excuse me, I just need to correct you on this.
Just very slowly, the finger comes towards your face, and you know what's going to happen.
You and I would be long famous. All right, and then Nick, question 5.
All right, what is your favorite hangover cure?
Morbius? No, I'm. There was some really horrible drink I used to drink at university called Powerade, which. It's probably similar to your Gatorade or something like that.
Yeah, I think we even have Powerade.
We do have Powerade.
Yeah. Oh, Powerade, you have Powerade. That's the thing. That's the trick. Lots of
that's a good cure. It's got the potassium and the
electrolytes.
And I'm sure a lot of other stuff that is doing
what
even
drunks
worse.
Crave.
Blue dye. Yeah.
It's like juice but with way more water.
Yeah.
Excellent. Those were great answers, Kat. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was fun.
And thank you both for making time to be on the show with us. I love when we can coordinate and get together with you. This has been really great. We'll absolutely link to the show, and I'm looking forward to listening to you. I'm going to go download you right now. The Seeker and the Skeptic, available wherever podcasts are not sold. Rubber podcasts are obtained.
That's right. We've been doing this for years. We haven't made a dime. This works.
That's
congratulations.
Right. So again, please go and follow this podcast and check out Seeker and Skeptic on Instagram and Facebook. I am, again, your host, Molly Glover. We have been Geeks Without God. You can follow us on Facebook, like us on Twitter, or whichever, those two, scratch that, reverse it. I get those ones mixed up a lot. But also, we do have a Patreon, so if you would like to support us, we would love to be supported by you. Our patrons get access to episodes like this early, and also there's been some other fun stuff. We ourselves have done some seeking and some ridiculous special episodes. There was one where we talked to psychics, and there was another one where we tried to summon a demon. So by all means, give those a listen if you are a Patreon supporter. Otherwise, we thank you for listening. And
you know,
Rebecca,
for the Seeker and
Kat,
the Skeptic, we should send them our Ouija board and see if it works for them.
We'd love that.
All right. Thank you so much, Kat. Thank you so much, Rebecca. I am sorry. I'm looking at there's an audition form out here in front of me that has like 8 names written on it, and I keep glancing down. Thank you, everyone, and we will talk to you again soon. Bye.
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 I mean, pretending you can do magic just sounds nice.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. Authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Yeah, just randomly, they got very quiet.